Okay. The children are off to children's church. And Izzy and Addie aren't here. But it's good to know that Megan's stepdad made through surgery well. So that's great. All right. Are you ready to forgive the one who's hurt you so bad? Are you ready to forgive them, to accept them, to even receive them for dinner in your home? Apparently, Philemon was. Because he was a hospitable person, he was ready to forgive one who had hurt him. And that one was Onesimus, who'd run off on him. Some of us this morning have people who've run off on us. It may be a spouse, maybe a child, maybe a friend. Perhaps someone has hurt us in another way that's caused tension between us and them. And like Philemon, we need to be ready for God to call us to welcome them home, to forgive them, to start anew with them. Now, to understand Philemon's case in the first century, I have come up with a 21st century parallel, and I'll give it to you this morning. And this is not a true thing, okay, this story. But I think it helps us understand what the book of Philemon is about and its background. Imagine that Elwood Anderson hired a man to clean up the ERA facilities each evening. The fellow workers named him useless. He tracks in oil from the garage into the showroom floor. He scratches cars with his vacuum. He's been found reading magazines in the waiting room when he's supposed to be cleaning the restroom. Yet, Elwood is kind to useless, even inviting him to use his hunting camp when the Gideons aren't using it. Well, one night, temptation got the worst of useless, and he broke into ERA's safe. Took all the money, grabbed a set of keys, and rode off in a 2018 Colorado. He drove all the way to Colombia. And there he got a job at the Bogota prison as a custodian. During his rounds each night, he converses with one of the prisoners, Jim Roberts. Jim has been imprisoned for distributing illegal Bibles to a remote Colombian tribe. As time goes on, Jim informs Useless that God's Son paid the penalty for all his sins. Useless accepts Jesus as his personal Lord and deliverer. Transformed, Useless sees that Jim is starving and cold. So he begins providing food and clothing and blankets for Jim. And this helps Jim through the winter as he awaits his trial. But Jim's conscience starts bothering him. He recognizes that the money used to buy his food is Elwood's money. He thinks of Pete not getting paid. Knowing that Useless needs to return to Colorado, return the Colorado to Norway, that's the city of Norway, he sends Useless back to Norway, but not empty-handed. He gives Useless a letter of appeal to Elwood, affirming Elwood's kind and hospitable nature. He invites Elwood to accept Useless back as useful. He even asked Elwood to charge anything that Useful still owes him to Jim's Wycliffe account. Yeah, as if he's going to do that. Well, in this proposed story, Jim expects an awful lot of Elwood, doesn't he? But we know that Elwood Anderson has that kind of character that he's shown to be hospitable, to be kind, to be loving, forgiving, that God may have prepared him for that. Philemon is that type of a person. He's like Elwood Anderson. And of course, the Jim Roberts in the real story is the Apostle Paul. And the Useless is a man named Onesimus, whose name means useless. Actually, it means useful. The name Onesimus means useful, and God worked through Paul to help someone who was useless to be Onesimus, to be useful to God. Philemon had a runaway slave who God wonderfully transformed under Paul's ministry in Rome. So let's look at this. It's interesting that in the time of Paul and Philemon that there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. 60 million. Because there were so many, they had strict punishments for a slave if he would run away because they didn't want them all to just all of a sudden revolt. If a slave ran away from his master, usually they would be executed. If not, they would be branded with an F on their forehead for fugitivus, fugitive. How'd you like to go around the rest of your life with a big F branded on your forehead? It would certainly keep other slaves from running away as well. But on rare occasions, a slave owner would not brand his runaway slave or execute them, but would welcome them back. And that was when a friend of the master would write a letter of appeal affirming that this slave has now been a changed man, that you won't have to worry about him running off anymore. In fact, we've found some records of letters of appeal to slave owners to welcome their slaves back. One of those is in the Bible. It's Paul's letter of appeal to the slave owner Philemon regarding his runaway Onesimus. And what I'd like us to do today is kind of look at Philemon's character, that he was one who was hospitable. And that nature prepared him to be forgiving of the one who had hurt him. And it encourages each of us to develop hospitality in our lives. Because hospitality prepares us for forgiveness. Hospitality prepares us for forgiveness. First of all, let's look at Philemon's hospitable, loving nature. In verses 1 to 7, Paul affirmed Philemon's love. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon. And then it goes on and basically lists some people that are there with Philemon in the town of Colossae that were his support team. Sometimes when we are called upon to welcome someone back, we need others praying for us. We can't do it alone. And he has a support team. In verse 2, to Appia, our sister, that probably is Philemon's wife. To Archippus, our fellow soldier, that would be one of Philemon's ministers, according to Colossians 4. And to the church in his house. There was a whole church that met in his home, probably a good-sized home. They met there each week. In those days, there were not church buildings like we're in today. People met in homes until about the 3rd century, or else they would meet outdoors in like the temple area in Jerusalem. But here they met in Philemon's home. In the end of Colossians, it also mentions a lady named Nympha that the church group met in her home as well. And so then he gives this greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul begins to thank God, and we see Philemon's praiseworthy character. In verse 4, he says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, that causes me to think when people mention me in their prayers, do they automatically have something to be thankful for? Philemon was that kind of a person that when you prayed for him, you just thanked God for what God was doing in Philemon's life. And here's the things that Paul notes about Philemon. And really, he is setting up Philemon here for what he's going to be asking him to do. And it's because of these characters that God has readied Philemon to receive back the one who hurt him. He's verse 5, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Philemon had love and faith toward Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. Every Christian that was in Colossae, Philemon had open doors to. He opened his house every week. He had to have it cleaned. It had before and after and all those kind of things. It could have been seen as an inconvenience. But he was loving. He was warm to people. It's interesting in verse 22, Paul says, at the same time, also prepare me a lodging. It seems that Philemon was someone that you could easily call upon and say, hey, can I stay the night? And he was very hospitable in opening his home in that way. That was a vital thing for folks in this time. As Christians were traveling on business, and particularly in ministry, in evangelism, in teaching, and representing an apostle, they needed places to stay, and there was a great need for hospitality. And through the Bible, we find that those who are opening their homes to Christians are seen as co-workers with the evangelist. Paul mentions people who are co-workers who open their home to him. In 2 and 3 John, it talks about hospitality, and Gaius is one who's opening his home to people, and he's seen as a co-worker. Ray Badgero will be here in a couple of weeks, and someone has opened their home to him, and that makes them a co-worker with this missionary. Hospitality is still a vital thing, and that's Philemon is affirmed for his hospitable nature, his love for all the saints. And I think Paul kind of underscores and was sure to put the word all in there because there's a new saint in town. He's got a letter, and it says, take me back. And that's Onesimus. He's probably robbed Philemon. He certainly got Philemon out of some work, and Philemon needs to take him back home. He needs to love him as well as one of the saints. But to do that, Philemon needs to use his faith. It's interesting, verse 5, I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. When Paul wrote the letter to the whole church there that Philemon was a part of, Colossians, he mentions in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We receive Christ by faith. We trust Him that we're forgiven. We're going to heaven. We need to live each day that way. We need to trust that God is going to help us in the things He calls us to do. That faith that Philemon has in Christ is going to be tested as he's going to be asked to welcome Onesimus home, a slave, and to do even more than Paul is going to ask of him. Next week, we're going to see what that even more that Paul was asking would be and think through whether or not Onesimus did that. But God asks us to do some tough things, and sometimes it's in the area of forgiveness. And we need to take that faith we have in Christ and exercise it, that God is going to help us to be forgiving of others who've hurt us. Paul goes on and says in verse 6, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. That's interesting. In us is the ability to do every good thing that God asks us to do. It's there. It's in us. The Holy Spirit will enable us to love people no matter what they've done, to forgive them even as Christ has forgiven us. When Paul wrote to the whole church, and maybe Onesimus brought this letter along as well, the letter of Colossians, as he came home to Colossae. In Colossians 3, verse 12, Paul says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. It almost seems as if Paul kind of knew some of the things that were going on in Colossae. He had Epaphras there in prison with him who had started the church in Colossae. Maybe Epaphras had told him some things that people were complaining about one another. So he says, get over it. It's within you. You can do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And God wants us to exercise that love. And as we're loving and hospitable, God will give us opportunities to forgive people who've hurt us deeply. He had a praiseworthy character with expected fruit. And he practiced, as we've mentioned, hospitality. Look at verse 7 about this person who's called on to be really a model for forgiveness. Verse 7, I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. As people have come to Colossae on their way to Ephesus or to Laodicea or up the opposite direction toward Antioch, they have been refreshed, tired, weary, discouraged, defeated people have stayed with Philemon, and he has, through food, through lodging, through encouragement, has lifted their spirits, and they've gone on recharged, rebooted, so to speak. I like the fact that on my computer, I can do one little touch, and it will refresh what I've had. So it goes back to the beginning, because I make mistakes. There's a refresh. God knows that we as Christians need people in our lives that will refresh us. I think we all need to be able to admit that we need refreshing at times. We do get discouraged. We do get depressed. We do get where our spirits, they're just not very cheerful. And we need Philemons in our life that will come and maybe just take us out for lunch. Affirm that we're okay. Pray with us. Listen to us to lift our spirits. Jesus saw his disciples were discouraged. He says, let's go away for a while. Rest a while to be encouraged. And they went away. And a whole pack of people came on them and wanted to be fed. And then they were out in a storm. But one came to them in that storm, didn't he? Calmed the storm. And we need people that Jesus will use in our lives to calm the storms, to encourage us, to cheer us up. There are several verses I've got there in the notes that talk about refreshment that's come, how the household of Stephanas encouraged Paul, and other things like that. In verse 20, Philemon 1:20, or chapter 2:20, or 3:20, whatever you like, Paul says, "Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." When Philemon welcomes Onesimus back and forgives him, one of the results of that forgiveness is going to be 1,000 miles away in prison in Rome. Paul is going to have his spirits lifted. He's going to be cheered up, knowing, I've done the right thing sending Onesimus back, and there's restoration there. When we get restored with someone that we have some tension with, that has a reciprocal effect that other people are encouraged to see that. That cheers them up. And that's another thing to motivate us to forgive, to love people, to welcome them even into our homes. He practiced hospitality, and that is going to set him up to be the one to welcome Onesimus home. Now in verses 8 and 9, we see that Paul expected Philemon to show his love. He expected Philemon's love to be shown. Therefore, I like how Paul puts this. This is crazy. "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus." Wow. That's like when we're speeding along Highway 2 and we go by a state patrolman and he pulls up behind us and he just kind of goes flash, flash, just a couple times and put the siren on, zip, zip, and all of a sudden we slow down. And then he goes by us and he says, "Hi." And we go, "Whew." That little flash, flash is a warning that we could be highly penalized. And so we need to slow down. Paul, he kind of says, "I'm an apostle. I'm from God. And I could command you, but I won't. Just flash, flash." That's the kind of thing that happens. It's almost, you know, Paul might as well just have commanded him to do this. But he senses he doesn't need to do that, that Philemon will just take a suggestion. And I trust that the situation that you're in that needs some reconciliation with someone, that God doesn't have to have one of our elders come to you and say, "You need to get right with that person." That just a little reminder, a little nudge from the Spirit of God will help you to get that right with someone else. Not even that our elders have that authority like Paul did. But we shouldn't be so stubborn. We should take a nudge, an encouragement, and that would be enough to reconcile with someone. So Paul says, I just, because of love, for the sake of love, do this. In Ephesians, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. God wants us to be a forgiving people. The other thing that's here, that this is based on Philemon's loving spirit, his charity, but Paul makes this appeal also based on Paul's own chains. He says, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, will you just do this? I mean, if Jim Roberts was in prison and asking us to get right with somebody, we might be a little more inclined to do that. I mean, this guy's suffering in prison. All he wants us to do is one little thing. Look what he's going through for Christ. Can't we at least reconcile with someone? That's a little bit of the twist here that Paul uses. I'm in prison for the message of forgiveness. Can't you at least welcome Onesimus home? And he also mentions he's old. Does that mean old people can have a little more an influence? I know people, when they ask people to do this, when they're dying, people say, yeah, I'll do it, and I'll do what you want. And then they go, oh my goodness, I got this I have to do now, because when he was really old and dying, I said I would do it. Well, maybe that's what Paul is using here. I don't know what kind of leverage he's using, but he uses it. And what leverage do we need? An old man? A Christian in prison? May we just do it for love's sake, for what's right, because we trust Christ that he's going to help us. And it's wonderful to have forgiveness with others. So, God's love prepares us to be forgiving of others. Let's expect to express God's love. Let's be Philemons. Let's be mature enough in our faith that when we're called upon to forgive, we're like Philemon. We're ready to do that. And one way is through hospitality. Let me just tie this up here, because next week we're going to go in to really see about 20 reasons he gives here why we should be forgiving of other people. But let's tie this together today. Let's expect to express Christ's love to others. We need to be practiced in hospitality. Jesus says, you do it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. And that's talking about caring for other people, refreshing other people. Couple of verses, Romans 12:13. It says we're to be contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, it says, be hospitable to one another, and here is without complaint. It seems that when we're hospitable, that kind of prepares us to be forgiving. And we need to be ready to be hurt and ready to forgive. We're going to get hurt in life. But we need to be ready then to reciprocate with forgiveness. Like Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you have read many of her stories and how she was able to extend a hand of forgiveness to the German soldier who had overseen them in the concentration camp, who came to one of her meetings afterward. Forgiveness. We need to be ready to extend that hand. Jesus, in John chapter 13, said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. In chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then verse 21 has an interesting twist to it. 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. One of the ways that God discloses himself in his own character to us is when we, in obedience to him, love other people, accept, reconcile, forgive. God shows himself all the more in our life when we do that. So we need to be ready to forgive. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. This forgiveness thing is pretty important to God, it seems like. This love for one another. In 4:18, in this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. God wants us to be loving. You may not have a slave that's run off, but maybe it is a spouse. Maybe it is a child that's turned away. Maybe it's a friend who's departed. Or perhaps, as I've experienced, someone has taken someone you love from you. Can you reach out and offer forgiveness and restoration from your heart? Forgive them. There's some things we could do this week that I think help us in being in Philemon's sandals, being ready to forgive. One is to embrace God's forgiveness of yourself. Embrace that God has forgiven you. He gave his Son for you. Embrace that like Onesimus embraced it and believed that sins were forgiven. Second, ask God to help you forgive the one who's hurt you. You ever find that forgiveness is difficult? It takes a little bit of thought and effort, and, well, we need help to forgive some folks. Ask God to help you. And then forgive them from your heart. And finally, prepare to welcome them into your home. If you really forgive them, then get the table set. Do something that shows you're prepared to welcome them into your home. When Becky and I lived in Fairfax, Virginia, Sadie was with us too, we had a backyard fence. And on the other side of the fence was this couple that we knew. They had two kids that they had adopted. One went off after a gay lifestyle. That was so difficult for them. The other, their adopted daughter, became a heroin addict. So they sent her to rehab. She got better. She was out for a little bit, and then she went back. She says, Mom and Dad, I need more money. I got to go back in rehab. And it went on and on. And their savings was going down and down. And they were pulling their hair out, literally. And they were quite upset about this daughter that was taking all their money and really wasn't changing. Well, she had to come back home because she'd finally gotten somewhat straightened out, and at least the authorities had found her, and she had to stand trial, and she was willing to do that and to get her life cleaned up for good. And it was interesting looking across the backyard fence and seeing that they were getting her old room ready so that when she came for trial before going to prison, she could spend some time with them. They'd forgiven her. They loved her. And even though they had less money now, they welcomed her back home. And I got thinking today as I thought about that story, I go, wait a sec. That was the couple that every week we went to their house with a home Bible study group. They were loving, hospitable people week in and week out. And for some reason, like Philemon, that prepared them to open their hearts and their home to their daughter who had hurt them. I encourage us to be hospitable to those around us, to open our home for Rock Solid. We're thinking about beginning a young adult ministry, and that may need some homes to be opened up on a regular basis for a Bible study or something like that. God may stretch you to open up your home on a regular basis to prepare you for a big thing of forgiveness someday down the road. Let's just pray about this for a moment. Father, we all have situations in our life that require us to be forgiving. Help us to be ready when you call upon us. And may we hear your voice clearly and open our hearts, our arms, and our homes to those who have hurt us for your glory. And God, just right now, prompt us, show us who we need to reach out to welcome, to forgive. That your healing, that your power might flow through us for your glory. And Lord, we can't leave today without thanking you for forgiving us, for opening your home for us. And Lord, may you come quickly to take us there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.